Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do once a month on Blog Talk Radio. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority, and my goal with the show is to provide ideas and share stories to help you do that. Today, my guest is Richard Batchelor, who is here to share how to develop change readiness at all levels. Rich has been successfully delivering change for over 16 years. He has worked on change delivery in UK public service, developing the change management presence in several government agencies before moving to Canada, where he's calling from today. He now leads a successful international consultancy providing change management and strategic human resource development across the globe. He has developed change strategy and led change in businesses as diverse as book publishing, IT services, and hotels. Rich has a master's in change management from the University of Glamorgan. I said that wrong anyway, even though I asked him how to pronounce it. Glamorgan Business School in the United Kingdom. He is an active founding member of the Association of Change Management Professionals, who advocates change management at every opportunity presented. Rich has also published a number of articles and collaborated on books examining human behavior and its relationship to change. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
Thanks. So I guess we should start, if we're talking about change readiness, with a definition. So what does it mean to have change readiness or to be change ready?
From my perspective, and as with so many things around change, it's always a bit of a challenge to get that really succinct sort of one-liner headline of how you describe anything to do with change management. But for me, change readiness is all about making sure that a business you're working with or a group of people within a business that you're working with are prepared and able to take on change in the future, not just the current change process that you're going through with them. So it's about making sure that they are prepared for the future changes that might come along, because as we all know, there's nothing more constant than change coming through business.
Okay, so it's beyond the concept of just developing change readiness for a specific project, but really having the organization be change ready?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, sure. For me, it's very much about putting in place practices and the culture, I think, as well, because the individuals that are working within a business, you know, the people are the actual culture of that business, and making sure that they are more receptive to change in the future and willing to take that on as businesses evolve and change into the future is something that I think most organizations can benefit from, so that change readiness is about getting them ready for the future.
Okay, so it's more of a, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's repeatable or is it just a sort of a steady state being change ready? You know, something where you're creating, you've got multiple changes happening over time, and so you're change ready across the board, or it's not something that you're getting change ready every single time you have a change.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing, because it's not something that's going to be like a book that sits on a shelf that you just pulled out. Oh, we've got a change to come into place here. Let's pull the trusted book out and open it to page whatever it may be. It's very much about developing that framework template that the operation of the business can work within, and has those practices and methods in place for change management being accepted within the individuals within that organization. So the next time an organization decides to make a change to the operational side of it, business planning, new IT systems, that business has a much smoother transition through that change because that organization is change ready from previous experience.
Okay, great. So who is it that needs to be ready for change?
Everybody is the simple answer to that, I think. with an organisation of any sort of size or substance, there are so many different managerial levels that might be in place. And for me, that change readiness has got to apply from the actual first point of contact with the organisation at the lowest level, right the way through to the boardroom. And it's got to be the same sort of adoption of the change readiness across all those levels within the business. It's no good just having pockets and individuals that are ready for change and happy to take it on board. It's got to be something that's ingrained in the organisational culture at all levels.
So how does change readiness look different, say, from an executive standpoint versus maybe people who are on the front lines and middle management? How does that look different?
I think, and it's almost a little bit where you look at perhaps the role of a customer. When you look at a customer goes into a store and they are actually looking to meet their particular needs before they make a purchase, and they determine the purchase that they're going to make, etc. And with the ingraining the organisational change culture within a business so that they're ready, it's very much about meeting the needs of the different levels of management within the business so that their actual purpose and role is appreciated within the future changes. So, for example, when you're talking about perhaps first and second level workforce employees, for them, it's very much about the practical day-to-day activities that they might be involved in, perhaps the IT systems they're using, documents, forms, the telephone that they might need to pick up to answer an inquiry from a customer or another business. So for them, it's about making sure that the change readiness is built around those particular actions that they do. The further up you go within the business, the more that transfers from a day-to-day activity in developing more and more strategic influence and strategic elements, so that perhaps a middle manager will be looking at the strategy of the business across their delivery areas, whatever their particular performance indicators are that they need to be meeting, whatever that may be. So for them, the change activity is about how that's going to impact on their responsibilities. So again, it's meeting their needs of responsibilities within the business. And, when you go right the way up to the board level, that's about how, the organisation, the corporation, whatever it may be, is being viewed externally and internally for its future direction. So the change readiness for your executive, your VP, etc., and higher, is going to be very much about how that fits in the developing corporate transformation development of the business to meet the needs in the future, and less so about the actual practical detailed element. So, even though it's a very long explanation, the simplest way of looking at it is the lower down the levels of the business are, the more detail and the more practical application you have to have. Perhaps the higher up within the business, the less detail that's required, but the more strategic influence and strategy development that's needed around the change activity.
Okay, so when you're trying to build up change readiness, where do you start?
It's about taking the example of a current or existing change activity. You've got to start somewhere with anything when you're building up any sort of activity. And the biggest challenge is really getting the organisation to take on board the need for good, solid change management in the first place. Now, for me, it's about working with that organisation through general process of change management around communications, learning, any sort of application that might be appropriate for the individuals. But then using that initial change activity to start developing understanding of why change is taking place and getting the individuals on board to actually appreciate why the business is changing and what the particular roles and activities are that are taking place there. So it's very much starting off perhaps with your first point of call where you have a change event taking place within a business, and the area or business unit that is going to be experiencing that, and they become that sort of catalyst for future understanding of change. You can't predict everybody's reaction to change until you actually talk to them and engage with them on a change activity. But having that initial conversation with a small sample of an organisation gives you that snapshot of the business as a whole and gives you that leverage to actually go into the business and start developing a capability for change into the future by getting that small group of people to be understanding the change process, the nature of the matrix that interconnects the change readiness. And then you work with the business then to use these people as change agents for the future change activity as you build it, perhaps time frames, change management plans, etc., that the business is going to need to work towards for any future change that's coming in within the business.
Okay, so using an existing change initiative that's going on as sort of a learning opportunity / laboratory for developing how change works in that organization?
Yeah, sure. It's, you know, you don't want to be going in there and have to, you know, change the world, shall we say, when you go into an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be going in there and talking to them and getting an understanding of the way the culture operates by taking a snapshot of that organization through using a particular change event that's happening to get an understanding of the way that they react to change. And also gives you a good insight into the stakeholders that the organisation has to consider when it's making any changes and the way the actual internal communication management framework operates. So you can build up this picture, and it's very much about building up a picture in my mind for the individual opportunity that you've got presented at the moment to be used as this catalyst, this opportunity to spread outwards. Not unlike the spider's web, where you have the central bit and then it moves out when you look at something visually in that way. And for me, I think the actual change event opportunity you have then is also your opportunity to be building up templates, toolkits, etc., that the organisation can use to take forward in a strange way. My approach with any sort of organisation when you go into a change event is that maybe they need to put through a number of change events, but with each subsequent change event, they should be needing less and less support from a change manager because they should be more ready to deal with the change themselves and able to actually apply toolkits and learning that they've experienced in previous changes.
Okay, so it sounds like instead of taking, like you said, you know, templates and, you know, a standardized form, let's say, or standardized process, going in and saying, here's how you become change ready. It's really working with the organization itself to figure out what works for that organization and the people within it. So it's customized for the organization, but also it has them developing it and, you know, being participating in developing it for themselves, which we both know works wonders for, you know, adoption of anything.
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
I think as well, you know, picking up on that, it's, you know, this is where every organisation that you might work with at any sort of change event will have a different purpose in its sort of strategy, it's what it's delivering is. It could be a financial institution, it could be, you know, from my own experience, it's been hotel groups and book publishers of late that I've worked with, you know, which are quite varied sort of operational practices. But when you actually break it down into the change support and making them change ready for future change, it's as long as you identify and what their business needs are within the organisation and what apparatus they use, particularly with IT systems being such a core component of that, the rest of it is about the people and the way they react to the change and what they need to be prepared for and what their stakeholders are that need to be considered within that so that it can apply across all sorts of different organisations and business processes that, you know, any sort of corporation might be having.
Okay. So then what is, even though we just said, you know, you don't bring in templates or standardized process, but now my question, though, is, you know, what is the process that, what is the process to build change readiness? Like, is there, we talked about where to start, but, you know, what Are there any specific steps or any elements in particular that you need to cover?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you're not going to have any templates or documentation, but what I'm saying is you don't go in there and that's the first thing you do is pull out a template and say, this is the actual piece of paper that we're going to start ticking boxes on and start saying, oh, have you got this and have you got that?
Mm-hmm.
It's very much about building something that works for the organisation once you've been in there. So for me, it's about going in there to the organisation, talking to them, and finding out what it is, the change that's happening. So it's that initial element of analysis and understanding of the change. And then not just standing back and making an assessment of how that change is going to impact the business, but having that good change process in my mind that engages and involves the individuals that are being affected by the change, so they have that opportunity to discuss what that means to them personally. So, you know, if you're talking about, you know, a number of data processing areas, et cetera, it's how the change is going to affect them and what they see coming across their desk, maybe, and what they see is going to be new on the computer system, or what new questions that they're going to have on the phone when they pick it up. So from getting an understanding and discussion point with them, and it's very much about that communication activity that you start off with here, then you can start summarising the, I suppose, impact points, the stakeholder impact element, where they obviously are key stakeholders themselves, but also where they start to sort of touch bases outside the organisation with things. And you then start to build up perhaps, for me, it's almost like a mind map I like to build up, where you have this sort of circular element and you have all the thought processes that come off it, that you use then to start building up the framework of elements that need to be considered for the change event. And that element, that list of considerations that you take on board when you're discussing with the business area is the elements then that start to highlight, oh, well, you do it this way because this is what they are more comfortable with. For instance, you may find in a particular organisation that they really like face-to-face discussion. So you want to be making sure that they have an understanding that their change readiness building is going to come from appreciating that they need to talk face-to-face, whether it be huge town hall-type discussions or whether it's small focus group-type discussions. But that you get an appreciation that part of their future planning should be to have a higher proportion of that. Other areas, and I found this predominantly in technology businesses, they like to have the constant email, intranet-style communications and less about face-to-face talking. So that's where you build the future framework around that style of communication to suit their needs. And then, of course, you know, I'm talking a lot about the sort of the first and second level individuals within the organisation. Moving up from them, you go on to the managers of those particular organisations, a business unit, and they do actually have to be spoken to and discussed with and explained why you're highlighting this, because you've had a better response by using this particular communication method as opposed to this one. And it's back to that change curve element of the better and more focused the elements are at the beginning of the change activity, the less time lost there is later on in adoption and moving forward with the business following the change. So, you know, you're making it key to performance then for the managers as the way you build up this ability to take on board change at that point in time, and also then that builds up as a foundation stone for the future development.
Okay, and then how about at the top of the organization?
Sure, then, you know, the top of the organization, and from my experience as well, has been about highlighting to them how it fits in with their perhaps corporate plans, corporate goals, to actually get effective workforce. You'll find that most large organisations, corporations, have some elements within their strategic plan that says about maximising the potential from their individuals, or, you know, high-performance individual workforce, some element or some phrase like that. And this is about discussing with those higher managers about how the effect and impact is going to allow their middle managers to be delivering the results they want to do, but also it's going to enable them to bring in future changes much more quickly and much more easily, because the workforce is going to be much more ready to take on board that change into the future.
Right. So I'm just trying to summarize some of the elements that you talked about. Some of the things I heard were communication, especially the style, preferred style of communication. Leadership to some extent, as far as, and management.
Yeah.
Like how do managers get people to change? What other elements would you, you know, if we were to, you know, make a list of key themes, like what are you looking for when you're looking for, when you're talking about change readiness?
Yeah. One of the other big key elements that I've not mentioned so much yet is about that learning strategy that you have within an organization. And I tend to use the word learning in preference to training, because it's about people learning and understanding things through different methods, rather than training that tends to be seen as training events. And, you know, the key element is having a culture within an organization that is more willing to learn about new things, and having facilities in place to actually put in place new learning methods and new content for learning. So learning is one of the big strands as well that comes in place for change readiness, because you need to have a good, flexible learning and development process in place for the business, so that that can flex to meet future learning needs. And, you know, learning for me has a large proportion of training events and one-off sort of chalk and talk, as they used to call them, activities in a classroom-based environment. But it's also about using other methods to make sure that people are educated as to what's happening about change and how that impacts them. So you need to have that framework within the organization. And this links a little bit, again, into perhaps the higher level management, where you'd be looking at sort of workforce development directors, et cetera, that might be in place within the business, to ensure that they have plans and strategies in place within the business that can actually flex and adapt to future changes, so that the individual plans, development plans that are required to be completed by personnel within the business can actually be moved around to fit new systems that are coming in, or new process of any shape or form that might be required within the business. So for me, it's also about that big learning strand that comes in as well, and having that ready, as well as that linking in then to communications again. And, you know, and for me, communications is such a fundamental for all of this, because it's about not just saying communications in the right way and having the right content, but it's also about having communication in the right method as well to the individuals, so that they actually take them forward.
Right. And alignment across the organization, too. Yeah.
Yeah, very much. Consistency as well of delivery of communications and education is key as well, because the organization developing this readiness to deal with future changes is going to come from having a consistent approach that can be flexed, not just within that particular area that I might have started working with within the business, but also something that can be rolled out across the rest of the business, so that larger changes and different changes affecting different areas can be equally taken on board within the business.
Great. So then, how do you know when people have actually achieved change readiness or are change ready? How can you tell when they're there?
That I would say is one of the biggest challenges really for myself, because it's not something where you can suddenly say, okay, you've now passed the certificate in change readiness and you've now got a tick in the box that says that you're good to go. But it is about observation and understanding of the business and the people working in the business to see what has moved forward with them, seeing the way that they're perhaps willing to take on board things more readily in the future, and you get this sort of insight. And, you know, I hate to say it, it does sometimes even come down to a bit of gut feeling sometimes with people when you're talking to them, which is not a very precise science, I know. But when you are talking with people, you get a sense of the nature of the words that they use are more about glass half full rather than glass half empty situation. So it's not about the challenges of a future change. It's more about, oh, well, yes, there will be challenges, but this will enable us to do that. So they start to talk in terms of enablement through change rather than the challenge and, you know, coming down the other side of the mountain rather than the side to climb up in the first place of the change. So you start to get that communications culture showing through. But ultimately, you will only really know that an organisation is developing change readiness when you see them taking on the next change and the next change after that more easily and accepting it within the organisational business processes in a much more accepting, positive manner, and the business is not having the large impacts perhaps of change that they've had before in a negative way. You know, there will always be impacts and changes. We know that that's got to be adopted and taken account of whatever change comes in. But for me, it's about getting that cultural insight of the way people are communicating, the way people talk about change in the future shows that they're more change ready, and also the actual practical application of seeing a change having less impact, less energy exertion from the business as they show that the people are more ready to take on change with each new change that comes along within the business.
Okay. So, as you know, this show is primarily the audience is people who are trying to implement change from within their organization versus consultants like you who are implementing change from the outside. And so I'm curious to know if you would expect a difference with someone who might be trying to develop change readiness from within the organization versus a consultant coming up from the outside.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, the advantage as a consultant coming from the outside is that the heads turn towards the consultant to listen to what they have to say. When you're somebody within an organisation, you sometimes have to be the person that gets the attention to make the heads turn in your direction. So I do think that, and I do appreciate that that can be a challenge. But I think this is where developing change readiness, if you can maximise an opportunity of a particular change within your organisation to show the practice and the methods and the way that change can be taken on board much more easily and productively, in effect, for whatever the performance is that the business wants to bring forward. The internal change agent has the ability then to reflect back on that when they talk about the next change coming on and say, look at what we did here, look at the impact and the benefits we got from doing it this way. So now take this forward and say we are use that as being part of the practice rather than something that develops through the process, and that change agent can perhaps influence the practice in the future. But it is a struggle sometimes because you do have people that will always be resistant to change, unfortunately, and you do have to use different communication methods and everything to meet their needs. You know, and my tip would be to actually look at the individual you would speak to and think, what does change mean to them within this business? And how do I actually address their particular need rather than looking at it from the outside? And once you can get that individual's attention by explaining the change in terms of their particular needs, then you can build up from that into taking it on board for the wider organization.
Great. So, Rich, where can people find out more about change readiness or about you?
About me?
Yeah.
They
want to get in touch with you and have a conversation about this, how do they do that?
Sure. As I say, there's quite a few good books out there and everything, and you know, I'm not going to bore you with anything too detailed or things about change readiness books and the whole change management side of things. You know, I'm a great believer in anything that Cotter's ever written about change management, and I love all his stuff. So that's always my first recommendation because it just is a nice element. And then for me as well is they can look at my website, which is www.richardbatchelor.com, or by all means contact me through Twitter as well. I'm a frequent and avid Twitter user, and I'm more than happy to engage in conversations through that. And my Twitter handle, you can find me at Rich Batchelor on Twitter.
Great. Well, Rich, thank you so much for being here. I enjoyed our conversation.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome. The next topic, the next episode, is coming up on Tuesday, April 17th, 2012. This one's going to be at noon, so at 12 p.m. Eastern. My guest is Christina Katch, who is an industrial engineer focused on implementing lean at a U.S. government defense manufacturer. And the topic is going to be tips for influencing change as a newbie. Because Christina just graduated with her industrial engineering degree in 2009, but in the last 3 years, she's been basically taking notes on what works and what doesn't as far as how to influence change when you're brand new to an organization, brand new to a team, brand new to a career, really. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing what she has to say, because it's going to be lessons that some of us don't remember, but we need to know when we go into a new situation. So in the meantime, if you would like to find more resources and learn how we might work together to help you influence change in your organization, please visit anclaria.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.